Thank you, Jerry. And remember, of course, tomorrow, for those of you listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan or sportsnet.ca/590, there will be a pre-game show as well at 7 o'clock Eastern time. We will hear from, I haven't decided yet, it's either going to be Bo Schultz or Jose Reyes. I got them both in the hopper waiting. One will go Wednesday, the other one will go Friday, and we'll try to check in with some Canadian baseball as far as the Pan Am games go as well. Again, the pre-game show at 7 o'clock prior to our network pregame at 7:30 Eastern time. Wouldn't be fair to go to a caller here because we only have about a minute. So what we're going to do is step away. And when we come back, we'll update you on the goings-on in the American League East. And it really is something. It appears as though the Blue Jays and the Boston Red Sox are going to be the only teams in the division to win tonight, and that the Tampa Bay Rays are going to lose twice. Five games separate top from bottom in the AL East, and the Blue Jays will soon be tied for second place in the division, just a game and a half back. The Jays beat the White Sox 2-1. Phone lines are open. Well, maybe one's open. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. It's the Honda Postgame Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Bagger Baseball Control in Toronto, 2-1. The Blue Jays beat the Chicago White Sox. This game was almost a carbon copy of last night's, all the way down to Josh Donaldson's home run to break a 1-1 tie. Tonight it was in the fourth as opposed to in the sixth. Jose Reyes made an error leading off an inning in a one-run game late. This time it was in the seventh, not the eighth. But this time Reyes started a 6-4-3 double play to the next batter to redeem himself. Bo Schultz gets the final out of the seventh inning on one pitch. Aaron Loop gets a big out in the eighth inning. And then Roberto Osuna gives up a leadoff infield single in the bottom of the ninth, but works his way around it for his fourth save in five opportunities as the Blue Jays closer. And the Jays beat the White Sox 2-1. They are now 44-42. A game and a half out of first place in the American League East, soon to be tied for second place because the Orioles are losing 8-3 to the Minnesota Twins. They're one out away from the loss when it happens, assuming it happens. There's nobody on base and two out in the ninth inning. Then the Blue Jays and Orioles will be tied a game and a half out of first place. The Tampa Bay Rays already lost one on a walk-off grand slam, and they're losing the back half of the doubleheader 5-1 to the Kansas City Royals. Should they go on to lose, they would be a full game back of the Jays and Orioles for fourth place in the American League East. Series continues tomorrow. We're on the air at 7 Eastern with the pre-game show. Then the network joins at 7:30 for an 8:10 first pitch. It'll be Drew Hutchison against John Danks. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. For Jerry Howarth, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Emil Delitzsch, and Mark Boffo, I'm Mike Wilner. Bye-bye.
Out to the ball game. Watch your Blue Jays live while you listen to the game here on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
And the 1-2 pitch popped up, third base side foul, maybe playable. Coming over is Donaldson. It's playable. Josh has it. Ball game, Blue Jays. 2-1 here in Chicago to even this series at a game apiece. And talk about a character win after last night.
Blue Jays picked it up and avoided falling back to the 500 mark. And they're now tied for second in the American League East, a game and a half behind the first place New York Yankees. Yankees lost on Brett Laurie's 10th inning home run, 4-3 Oakland wins at Yankee Stadium. Orioles lose 8-3 to the Minnesota Twins. So Baltimore falls back into that second place tie with the Jays. Tampa Bay lost 9-5 in the opener of a doubleheader on Paolo Orlando's walk-off grand slam. And the Rays are losing 5-1 going to the bottom of the eighth in game two of that doubleheader. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Couldn't get to any calls during the network period, but now we have a whole hour to do it. So here we go. Nick in Toronto, you're going to be the leadoff man on Jays Talk. Welcome aboard.
Hey, Mike, I really want to appreciate your commentary. I love it so far. I wish I can get two questions in. The first one is, how great was Reyes in the first inning, getting on base, getting a steal, getting across the third, and getting home?
Yeah, it was a tremendous job by Jose Reyes. I mean, he was definitely a motivated individual tonight. And while the motivation doesn't get you that hit, it sure does lead you to want to wreak havoc on the bases. And that's what he can do when he's at the top of his game. He steals second. He goes to third on a ground ball to third, which not too many players can do. And he winds up at third base with less than two outs where he can score on a ground ball.
Second one is Osuna. It was so pressuring being in the ninth inning with a man on third, and he kills it.
Roberto Osuna is really good. You know, he's 20 years old, but he has the poise of a veteran. And it's because he pitched in the Mexican League against men more than twice his age as a 16-year-old. And the guy's got amazing stuff, and he knows what he's doing with it. It is a really, really settling feeling to have now. Is he going to blow some saves? Yeah, he's going to blow some saves. He's already blown one, not since he's been the quote-unquote closer, but he's got everything you want in a closer, and one hopes eventually everything you want in a starting pitcher. But right now, enjoy him out of the bullpen. A tremendous job. Adrian in Toronto, you're next on Jay's Talk.
Evening, Michael.
Evening.
I just want to also offer my compliments to Osuna. I like it when I see pitchers, especially young pitchers, come in, have a bit of adversity like Osuna did tonight, the runner getting to third and then coming through, because that can only build the so-called intangible of character. What I wanted to talk about mostly was in the top of the ninth, I believe Donaldson walked and then Bautista grounded in the double play, right?
Right.
Now, the second baseman for the White Sox, I think it's Carlos Sanchez, he was standing pretty much right behind the bag exactly where Bautista hit it, correct?
Well, yeah, because Donaldson was going and he had to get over there to cover the bag. I mean, he was probably there or close by anyway because of that shift that teams generally put on Bautista, but with the runner going, he's coming over to cover the bag. He's right there.
Yeah, because I was thinking about that because we are what would be called in a right now in baseball like a low run scoring context, right? You would say like
an environment, where run scoring is subdued. It's true.
Yeah, because I had the chance back in a spring training to go down to Arizona for a spring training, and I talked to. Are you familiar with Barry Bloom from MLB.com?
Yes.
He was actually there, and it was just like a little saber event that I went to, and I talked to him about shifts and like the run scoring environment. He says like I guess that's the thing that nowadays defensive shifts are probably a big contributor to that, in addition to other factors like pitchers like Osuna never throwing harder than they've ever thrown before, whatever. But the point is, he's saying the next big thing would be like how do teams at bat counteract those shifts? And he said he saw something it was Brian McCann basically last year coming over and being just owned by these defensive shifts. But then this year he said he made these adjustments to go against those shifts. Now I know like you're on the field. Like, are you on the field during batting practice?
Yes.
Do you know if teams consciously are encouraging their hitters when they show them the data, show them the shifts that are being used against them? Do you know if players on the Jays, do they consciously try to counteract the shifts by hitting against their tendencies?
Not in batting practice, no.
Or is it more like the
private? Batting practice is a pretty rote thing. You know, you do one round of trying to hit it the other way, you do one round of trying to go up the middle, you do one round of trying to pull the ball, and then you just try to hit the crap out of the ball or do whatever you need to do to get your timing down. I would think it's generally more about timing than anything else. But, you know, what needs to be remembered and in this whole shifty thing is that you are dealing with human beings, and human beings are capable of adapting to things. And really, it's up to them to choose to do it or not to choose to do it. You bring up the example of Brian McCann.
Yep.
The example of Colby Rasmus. And Colby won't do it. He thinks that he's likelier to get a hit just trying to hit a line drive to the pull side if that's where the ball is. And there are a lot of guys who think that way. And as long as that continues, the shifts will continue.
I think personally, though, that the people who adapt will be the ones that, you know, flourish and succeed and stay alive. Like, I personally can't see Colby Rasmus in Major League Baseball in I would say 3 years.
Well, who knows? The guy's 28 years old.
What's that?
He's 28 years old. I don't know that I would go that far. But yeah, in any situation, it's the people who are going to adjust and adapt that are going to be the ones who thrive.
Yeah, I just thought it's interesting that I think it seems like that's the next frontier, is because like we've come to a point where the defensive part of baseball is being analyzed more and more. Pretty much every team is using some manner of defensive shifts, whether pitch to pitch or batter to batter. And now it seems like the next thing is like, how are hitters going to go back against this to start, you know, scoring more or getting on base more? But
yeah,
I just thought it was interesting just seeing that. I mean, obviously with the runner going, that second baseman ended up in the right place, but always, I guess there's also like they consciously are probably shifting to his tendency as well. But
always.
Yep.
Always. Any smart baseball team's going to do that. Appreciate the call, Adrian. Yep. It's been a long time. So thanks for remembering us. Jay's Talk continues at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance. Is 1-888-666, pardon me, 0590. Blue Jays beat the White Sox by a score of 2-1. I don't have a name for this next caller. I know he's in Lakewood, New Jersey, but I don't know who he is. Morty in Lakewood. Hey, Morty.
Yeah, hi, how are you? Mike, I love your show. I'm originally from Toronto, but I still love the Jays. I watch every game.
Excellent.
Two quick things. Number one is great win by the Jays to pick it up from yesterday. I love these wins. 2-1 wins is a real win, more than 11-7. These are like legit baseball. And another question I wanted to know, what's with Justin Smoke? Why is he not batting? He was on fire.
Yeah, Justin Smoke is a guy who's going to play against right-handed pitching, and the Blue Jays are kind of in a run of lefties right now, and which is good because they tend to pound left-handers. But there's just no room for Justin Smoke when there's a left-hander on the mound, when you've got Danny Valencia and Chris Colabello who mash lefties, and Edwin Encarnacion, you're not going to take any of them out of the lineup against a left-handed pitcher. And so there's just no place for Justin Smoke. One hopes that the work he's done this last week will get him in the lineup more often against right-handed pitching, because he'd been sitting for Colabello or for Deonor Navarro a few times. So hopefully that's over, and Smoke will play most of the time when there's a righty on the mound, if not all the time. But he's just not, I mean, when this team's healthy, there's no room for him against lefties. And a 2-1 win is just as real baseball as an 11-7 win. I don't even know what that means. Mike is in Woodbridge. Mike, you're next on Jay's Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
All right.
Okay, Mike, two quick things. Manufacturing runs and the left field. So what's going on with left field, and why aren't we manufacturing more runs?
They're scoring more runs than any other team in the major leagues by a ton. All those runs
are they're winning a lot of those games, 6-5, 6-0, 11-7.
Yeah.
We need close games like tonight.
They won a close game tonight with a home run that broke a 1-1 tie.
The
idea that there's an issue with the Blue Jays' ability to score is borderline ludicrous. They're scoring runs at a near historical rate this season. Every run they have scored has been manufactured because they're not giving up outs to score a lot of their runs. That's actually a very good thing. And as far as left field, what are you going to do? You're going to wait until Michael Saunders is back healthy, and we'll see what happens then. Carrera and Valencia and Colabello are doing an okay job of holding down the fort for now. But that's what happens when your starter's out and when your backup is playing in center field every day because the guy who you thought was going to be your starting center fielder is in double A. So, you know, maybe they'll look to make a deal for an outfielder at some point. Maybe that'll be, you know, Shai Davidi was on Primetime Sports today and suggested that, you know, maybe the Blue Jays do what they did in 1993. If they can't find a starting pitcher, then just load up and get a great outfielder and try to beat people up even more. But for now, you live with what you've got in left field, and when Michael Saunders comes back, left field looks a lot better. Ian is in Brampton. Hello, Ian.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, go ahead.
I just want to say, like your show, excellent job, man. I was down in Kansas City for the past 5 years for a school, and, man, it was something else when they're in the World Series, and I can't wait to see that in Toronto. You know, I've been a big fan. I've been going to games since I was a kid, and I can't wait to see that in Toronto. It's going to be something else, man. I hope they get there.
Fingers crossed. That'd be swell.
Just wanted to say quick, see if you have any suggestions. I noticed that Aaron Loop isn't doing too well over the past year and a half. You know, his ERA is over 5 this year. And I was just wondering, if we do pick up a reliever this year, who would you think they're going to send down, if anybody? And I'll hang up and let you hear your response.
Okay. Thanks for the call. If they make a change in the bullpen, it's going to depend on a lot of things. Who they get, whether he's left-handed or right-handed, how everybody's pitching at that moment. I think when you look at Asuna, Schultz, Hendricks, Delabar, they're all having outstanding seasons. Loop has had a few bad outings, and those can destroy your ERA. Now he's had a few too many bad outings. He's pitched 39 times this year, and there have been 4 times where he's given up more than one run, and 7 times where he's given up one run. And that doesn't include any inherited runners that he might have allowed. He's got 2 blown saves and 8 holds. So it's not a terrible conversion rate, but you know, you don't get either one of those when you come into a tie game and you give up the tie. And I'm honestly not sure how many times that's happened with Loop. He's not nearly as bad as a lot of people think. The bad outings have been memorable because they've been pretty bad. But let's see, when's the last time he gave up a run in a game that the Blue Jays lost? That was the Orioles game, that 13-9 game. And he actually got a hold in that game. He came in with the lead, gave up a run, and left with the lead. The game before that, he took the loss. He got knocked around. And those two make a big imprint on people, as of the game in Houston, where he blew the save and took the loss, and that meltdown game in New York, the second game of the season. But, you know, for the far more often than not, when he's been called upon out of the bullpen, Aaron Loop's gotten the job done. I don't think he's in danger of losing his job, but we'll see. We'll see what happens when they bring in a reliever. We're going to have to, you know, you can't keep all 7 guys back there if you add, even if it's Aaron Sanchez who you're adding off the disabled list. But again, that's going to depend on who the guy is, who comes over, and who's doing what at the time. And again, everybody being healthy. Sam in Hamilton. Hello, Sam.
Hey, Mike, what's up? I was watching, you know, watching Twitter and watching the game at the same time. And man, I saw the pitchfork out on Reyes when he made that error. And then 1 play later, he makes a double play.
Yep. That's the way it happens. Twitter is kind of a reactive environment.
Yeah. Felix Dubron, a lot of people don't know, he's 27 years old. And he actually had a record of 11 and 6 on the World Series Red Sox team. Now, his ERA wasn't good, but still, he could be that guy that. Obviously, I know it's 1 start, but he's got a history that he can maybe be the guy.
He can't be the guy.
Well, I don't mean like I don't know, maybe like a next Marco Estrada.
He can be an acceptable bottom of the rotation pitcher, yeah, is what he can be.
Yeah. And plus, I would maybe not have to, maybe then we don't have to rush Norris back then, because apparently he had a great start in Buffalo tonight.
Norris was terrific. I don't think anybody's talking about rushing him back. Obviously, they've used 3 other guys to start before. With him still down in Buffalo the whole time. So there's no worries about rushing Daniel Norris. Look, Felix Dubront hopefully can be a guy who can give you a reliable 6 innings every 5th day. And that's really all the Blue Jays need, just a little stabilization in the rotation.
Now, I was wondering about Ezequiel Carrera. Now, obviously, he made that nice catch. The throw was kind of scary a little bit when you saw it, but the catch was nice. Do you think that the Blue Jays would consider calling up Alex Hafson over him?
I don't think that they're in a position where they're thinking about moving or getting out from Carrera right now. I mean, he made a couple of errors in the last game, but he's done the job just fine. Alex, I don't know if it's Hassan or Hassan. I remember him from the Red Sox minor league system. He's not hitting particularly well in Buffalo right now. I'm not sure why you would prefer him.
Well, the defensive aspect.
Yeah, no, I think that Carrera's fine. I mean, I don't have an issue with Ezequiel Carrera as your fifth outfielder at all.
Okay, now two things really quickly. One, do you think Valencia's starting to struggle against lefties? Because I've noticed the last two games he's gone 0-4.
Yeah, he's not going to hit 400 against lefties this year. No, I'm not worried about him at all.
Yeah. Would you have taken him out, like, in the top of the ninth yesterday? Because I was wondering that. You know, he's facing Chris Sale, and, you know, he's gone 0-2. Do you think maybe we would have pinched hit for him?
No.
I know, but he's got a good record. But, I mean, if you're 0-2 versus one guy and you face him for a third time, don't you pull the trigger and bring in Navarro or Smoke?
No. Danny Valencia has been one of the best hitters in the major leagues against left-handed pitching since he's come into the major leagues. You don't allow two at-bats against maybe the best pitcher in the game to make you make a terrible decision.
Okay, yeah. Okay, one last thing really quickly. First of all, I think Ned Yost is a horrible... I wanted to talk to you about this last night, but I didn't get the chance. Ned Yost, I think, is a horrible manager, and I want to congratulate the NL on winning the All-Star game next week. I mean, how do you leave Alex Rodriguez off the team and put Brock Holt? That's just a joke, in my opinion.
Well, there had to be a Boston Red Sox player on the team. And it's not Ned Yost's call. I mean, he gets to pick like five or six guys. So, there's a player vote. The commissioner's office has input, all kinds of stuff. It's not like the old days when the fans voted and the all-stars and the manager picked everybody else. You got a 34-man roster. Alex Rodriguez is not going to be the difference between between a win and a loss. I think it might even be a 36-man roster now. It's pretty silly. And Rodriguez may still wind up in there. Blue Jays 2 and the White Sox 1. 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell. Long distance. 1-888-666-0590. It's over in Kansas City. The Tampa Bay Rays have fallen for the second time today. They lose 7-1 after dropping the opener of the split doubleheader 9-5. They have lost 13 of their last 16 games. The Rays are now a game behind the Blue Jays and Orioles. They are fourth in the American League East, 2.5 back of the New York Yankees. We're taking your calls until midnight Eastern. Let's go to Frank in Grimsby. Hey, Frank.
How you doing, Mike? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Okay. It, as you two would say, it's a beautiful day. Like, I mean, baseball is a great game. One day you lose by a run, the next day you win by a run. And two great pitching performances back-to-back by Mark Burley and Felix Dubrat. So it's starting to see that the pitching hopefully is taking the turn like it did in June, and we can start to roll some wins together. Here's hoping to see Drew Hutchinson do a great performance. And hopefully the offense can pick it up. I know they faced a couple of real tough pitchers, and it's only a matter of time until the bats break out, and I think we're headed in the right direction.
Well, I mean, this is a first win in a bit, and this is three wins in the last nine games. But look, what it comes down to, Frank, is what I've been saying all season long. This is a very good team. And the way baseball seasons work is there are ups and there are downs, and you want to kind of ride through the downs and tread water. And if you can do that, then you're in good shape when things start to turn. I don't know if they're going to, you know, win four out of the next five or anything like that, or if things are starting to turn. There are six games till the All-Star break. They could go anywhere from 6-0 to 0-6 in those six games. But the truth is, they're a good team. And they're a game and a half out of first place. in the American League East, despite having lost six of their last nine. That's a good sign. That's the treading water that you need to do when things aren't going so well. They haven't slipped under 500 or anything like that. But tomorrow, I don't know how Drew Hutchison's going to throw. You get the feeling that tomorrow might be one of those 11-8 games because John Danks appears to be the kind of left-handed pitcher that the Blue Jays could just destroy. But Drew Hutchison has had his issues as well, especially on the road, though honestly I think that's more of a coincidence than anything else. But win tomorrow and you got a chance to win the series. Lose that game and the best you can do is split. So here's hoping that the Blue Jays come out and the bats really get moving the way they should against a guy like a John Danks. John in Toronto. Hey, John.
Michael, always wonderful programming.
Thank you.
It's awesome. So there was an ESPN story this last week, who was baseball's best manager, just to go to Mr. John Gibbons here.
Yeah, and would they vote Joe Maddon or Bruce Bochy, I think, got the
Mr. Maddon got a lot of Joe Maddon got a lot of support for a lot of different things. Do you know Joe had a losing record for 5 or 6 years in the minor leagues before he became a major league manager in Tampa? Like, I know it doesn't mean a lot in minor leagues, but... It doesn't mean anything. But what this dude was blessed with was a wonderful pitching staff when he came in. I mean, he lost for a year or two, and then from 08 on, sky was the limit in the AL East. A couple division championships, and it was the best starting pitching in the AL East. And
Blue Jays had the best starting pitching in the AL East in 07 and 08, didn't win anything.
Right.
In fact, They had the best starting pitching in the major leagues.
I know you are big guy on this front, and it's not all about starting pitching, but how can you sort of deny the success of teams with starting pitching? That, like, my whole point is that I've heard all this criticism about John Gibbons and Reyes the last couple of days, and it just makes me laugh. It's like, Reyes and Gibbons are the least of our problems, okay? You know, and I love Burley, and I see the positives of having Dickey in our rotation, and I see the up-and-coming prospects and players, but, you know, we need a couple other dudes to throw some innings. I mean, it's the only way to look at this team, and I just don't get it. But I wanted to ask you about John Gibbons, and like, so the only thing that he came up in the top 10 or top 24 was his ability to deal and handle with the media.
Yep, I saw that.
Did you see that?
Yep.
And then he didn't finish in the top 10 for ability or to utilize the whole roster, which I think is one of, and I know this is ESPN and it's an American survey, so Gibby's not going to get a lot of love, but I think Gibby uses the whole roster as well as any, and I watch a lot of MLB, all the other teams, not like a lot of Jay fans, and I think Gibby uses the whole roster and the bullpen very well, and I think Gibby is the least of our problems, and I think Jose Reyes making an error last night or tonight, that's 8 in half a season. If he gets 16 for the year, I'm okay with Jose Reyes making 16 errors.
He's missed a lot of time on the DL, but yeah, he doesn't have a lot. Marcus Semien of the Oakland A's made an error tonight, their shortstop. It was his 27th of the season.
But all these lads that get on and talk about his range, I mean, what does that compute to over 162 games? Like, does he miss 3 or 4 balls that maybe the top 5 shortstops in MLB would get to? Is that what it comes down to? And like, how do you?
Well, but I mean, if you look at that, you're also looking at the difference between a 300 on base percentage, which is not good, and a 350 on base percentage, which is pretty good. And what's that? One extra time on base a week. Maybe right. 1.2 extra time on base a
same
week.
Same thing for hitting average.
But I'd rather have the guy who's better. Always rather have the guy who's better. Jose Reyes is a poor defensive shortstop. Look, there's no way around that. And there's no...
Really, like bottom 15? Like if you took the 30 shortstops today.
Bottom 10.
Full package.
I'm not talking about full package. And you're not talking about it either. You're talking about his range and you're talking about his defense. And look, he is one of the worst defensive regular shortstops in the game. But the all the other stuff he does, for me anyway, makes up for that and makes it worth having him out there. And so I agree with you that John, first of all, I think John Gibbons is an asset, not a problem. And Jose Reyes is among the least of the Blue Jays' issues because, like you said, they need to improve the starting pitching.
And so if we do that at the trade, because I know Alex and Gibby are on their, I mean, they got to make things happen this year. I get the business and how this is going to work. So I'm looking at the top 10 prospects here in the Jays system. Let me ask you, who, and I'm going, Norris, Pompey, Hoffman, Pentecost, Castro, Reed Foley, Urena, Nay, Smith, Labor, and some more. Who would you be comfortable with parting if we go after that top ace?
Any of them.
Any of them.
Sure.
You're all in.
Why not? For a top number one pitcher, a guy who, you know, is going to, the guy who can win the 1-0 game for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, any of them, sure.
I'm in. So are you, what's it going to take to get
That's the question, show? Because it's not, you know, it doesn't, a trade like that doesn't happen in a vacuum. It's not where the Blue Jays call up Team X and say, look, what do you want for this guy? It's where Team X has six different teams interested and wants every team to try to top the other team's offer. And that's what the Blue Jays are going to be in. They're going to be in a bidding war for whoever they wind up wanting, and the price is going to rise and rise and rise until somebody finally pays.
And you think it's worth it no matter what?
Not no matter what. Nothing's worth it no matter what. And you notice you didn't mention on that list guys like Stroman and Sanchez, who, while they're not on a top prospect list anymore because they played in major leagues, are the guys that teams are very interested in when you're talking about making a trade like this. The first name everyone's going to ask for is Marcus Stroman.
But do you see the amount of starting pitchers around MLB who are Jays, who are big parts of starting rotations around MLB?
Yeah, look, great starting pitching, and I'm going to let you go because we're going on a little too long, but great starting pitching is a massive asset to have. And a team with great starting pitching is well ahead of the game as far as attempting to contend. But there are teams that win without great starting pitching, with average to mediocre starting pitching, and there are teams that win with an average to mediocre offense. It seems as though it's easier to do it with great pitching and poor hitting than the other way around, but really, you'd really like to have balance. But the Blue Jays won a World Series 22 years ago with pretty crappy pitching, starting pitching, a fantastic bullpen, and an unbelievable offense. Those things help a lot. More of your calls, and we'll see if we can't get some audio from down at the old ball yard. So we continue. It's Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
First pitch down the third baseline. Donaldson ranges to his right, loves it. Gets up and fires a strike to first base to record the third out. What a play by the all-star Josh Donaldson.
That was terrific play there in the bottom of the fifth inning. Melky Cabrera with that ground ball. And this time it was just a little closer to Josh Donaldson than that two-run double last night in the eighth inning that won the game for the White Sox. Blue Jays win it 2-1, a game that is almost a carbon copy of last night's, right up to the point where the Blue Jays gave it up. Same deal. Just like last night, Josh Donaldson hits a tie-breaking home run. Just like last night, leadoff man gets on late in the game with the Jays up by one thanks to a Jose Reyes error, but this time it ended there. Next batter hit another ground ball to Reyes. He turned that one into a double play, and the White Sox didn't threaten again until the ninth when Alice Ramirez led off with an infield single, bunted to second, went to third on a wild pitch, but Roberto Osuna steeled himself and popped up both J.B. Shuck and Connor Gillespie to end the ballgame and pick up his fourth save. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Jays Talk. Taking your calls at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Josh Donaldson bringing rain for the second straight night. After the game, He spoke to Sportsnet's Barry Davis. So before we get to the next call, I thought you might want to hear that conversation.
Josh, a couple of old-time type baseball games the last two nights. You don't see a lot of these low-scoring games, do you?
No, not especially here. I mean, it's one of those things. Tonight was a little bit different night, a little bit chillier. It's kind of hard to get in the flow of things. But the pitchers did a great job tonight. Came in, pounded the zone, and got some pretty quick outs.
The way Quintana was pitching tonight, was it your idea that you wanted to try to go the other way, just kind of drive something to right field?
No, I'm kind of going off of what he's trying to do. But, I mean, he's in the past worked me in, just trying to get something out over the plate, not necessarily go to right field, but, kind of use the big part of the field, which is the center of the field. And, it kind of beat me just a little bit, and I was able to hit it out to right field.
Talk a bit about the way Felix Dubron pitched tonight. He's been sitting in the bullpen the last week, not knowing 100% if he was going to start. He gave you 6 2/3 fabulous innings.
Yeah, he did great. I mean, the first time he came and pitched for us, I think he threw like 4 scoreless innings or something like that, maybe gave up one run. Tonight, another fabulous outing. Just came in and, threw strikes and, worked fast, kind of what we saw last night, and did a heck of a job for us.
You're landing on a lot of people this year. I noticed you went over and made sure the guy was okay. But when you do something like that, that's got to cross your mind afterwards, right? Make sure that I didn't hurt anybody out there.
Well, I felt it that time. I think we went head-to-head. But, last time I didn't really feel much. But that time, I think we went head-to-head. But, I was just making sure he was okay and he was fine. And, we got to win today. That's what's important.
All right, congratulations. Big win for you guys.
There's Barry Davis with Josh Donaldson, who hit the home run for the second straight day to break a 1-1 tie. This time it held up. The Jays beat the White Sox 2-1. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Jays Talk. Let's go out to Newmarket. Thomas, welcome aboard.
Hey, Mike. How are things?
Things continue to be well, thank you. Go ahead.
Good. I'm calling about Max Pentecost. I know he had the shoulder surgery. Where is he in regard to his rehabilitation? Like, when do you expect him back? And the reason I'm bringing him up is I'm sort of surprised that, to me, he would be the sort of blue chip that the Jays could most afford to give up due to the fact with Martin being around for the next 4 to 5 years. Now, that all depends what the other team needs and wants. Obviously, they're going to want pitching. But when's Pentecost back, and do you think he would have much value right now?
I actually don't know when Max Pentecost is coming back. He hasn't played yet this year. I still think his value is strong. People recognize his ability and understand that this is a big bat behind the plate with some pop. And I think that there's value there. I think you could probably get something pretty nice for Max Pentecost at the moment. And I think his name's coming up. I'm sure it is. Nothing is really being discussed. The only stuff, I mean, you say you're surprised that you haven't heard his name yet. That's because the only stuff we're hearing is people doing their own speculating as to what teams would want and what teams would give up to the Blue Jays. But the truth of the matter is nothing has leaked out about who's been named in talks. I'm sure his name comes up quite a bit.
Okay. Thank you, then.
All right. He's another guy on that list. Absolutely. As the Blue Jays are looking to add pitching. This trade deadline is now 24 days away, the non-waiver trading deadline. Eddie in Fort Erie. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, Mike. How are you tonight?
I'm good. Go ahead.
A couple of things I wanted to talk about. First, the Dubron start. He pitched really good, but a lot of the times tonight he did not get some of those 1-2-3 innings, and I think his next start for Kansas against Kansas City, which I assume it will be, he's going to have to, get a lot of those 1-2-3 outs, because if he doesn't, he's going to, get into a lot of trouble, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't know why that is. If you can stay, I mean, look, how many innings? He pitched 6 2/3 innings. How many times did he let a runner pass first base? It happened in the second?
I'm just saying, he was very fortunate to, to not let have any problems, because if he did, then it would have been bad. And I thought tonight he should have exploited a little bit more weaknesses to the White Sox hitters.
Okay, I don't agree, but I thought he did a terrific job against a very poor hitting team. You're not going to get, rare is the pitcher who's going to retire 11 guys in a row on a regular basis and get a bunch of 1-2-3 innings.
Okay. second thing is, based on the comments by Alex Anthopoulos on Tim and Sid earlier today, do you think that he will go a little bit creative by trading some of the guys off the roster, or do you think he'll stick to some of the prospects if the right deal presents itself?
It's all about the deal, right? It's all about what they want, how they match up. He said that he is not afraid to trade off the roster, even though it's not something you usually do. And that could mean maybe a Devin Travis, who I don't think any Blue Jay fan would want to part with. But that's a possibility because Ryan Goins can step in, play second, be the nine hitter if you can get something really terrific for Devin Travis. But other guys off the roster, maybe a Drew Hutchison would move in a deal to get a couple of starting pitchers back as a piece of a package like that. It all depends on what they want. And I don't know that he's more inclined to go one way or the other.
Okay, Mike, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks, Eddie. Appreciate the call. More of your calls coming up. But the manager hath spake. And when he does, we like to listen. So let's hear what John Gibbons had to say in the wake of tonight's 2-1 win over the White Sox.
Yeah, just like last night, too. Yeah, you know, both DeBrot was great tonight, just like Burley was, just like their two guys, you know, Sal and Quintana. You know, we're used to slugfests, and, you know, it's nice to play a game like that, come out on top. But DeBrot was great, and the bullpen came through, and, you know, Asuna just looks like a veteran out there.
You know, you've been waiting for guys that can fill in that tight situation, high leverage, and Bo Schultz, before he comes in, and just does the job, doesn't he?
You know, he's got everything he needs for that. You know, lately we've been having to use him, you know, multiple innings just to get through games because we were getting rocked a little bit. Yeah, but I can see him taking advantage of that and being really good at that. Yeah, real good. Yeah, real good curveball. Some good changeups. And, you know, he had a little life on his fastball. Yeah, that was very impressive.
It was a more swing in this that he got than what you expected from him.
Yeah, I thought he looked better than the other night when he came in for those two innings. You know, just looked like a starter out there, using everything. You know, I thought Russell did a great job getting everything out of him. And he looked strong, you know. But, you know, there's something to be said about him being a veteran, you know.
That's kind of old hat now. Just another home run from Josh. Another go-ahead home run from Josh. I think 14 of his 21 homers would be a provider.
Are they? Yeah, they. He's having a tremendous year. He's a good player, you know. He's going to the All-Star game. They don't get any better than that.
There's John Gibbons singing the praises of Felix DeBrot and Josh Donaldson and Roberto Asuna. It's a good night for the Blue Jays. They beat the Chicago White Sox by a score of 2-1. Big-time contributions from all three of those guys. Bo Schultz as well. I want to give him a short shrift. We're taking your calls right up to midnight at 416-870-0590. Star 590, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. John in Toronto, you're up next. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Love your show. Just wondering when and if Stroman, Sanchez, and Castro get back. Does their future not look more promising?
More promising than the present, you mean?
Than right now, like our pitching.
Yeah, it does. You've got three elite-level arms right there.
Sanchez got more than enough pitches this afternoon, and is he looking good enough to come back to us sometime soon?
I wouldn't say soon. He threw two innings. He got knocked around a little bit, not that that matters at all, but he threw two innings, and then the next time out, he'll throw two innings again, and it's a long process to try to build your arm back up. So if they want to use him, if they want to bring him back as a starter, you would think he's probably 2 weeks to 20 days out. If they want to bring him back as a reliever, maybe it can be a little faster than that.
Okay, well, thank you.
All right, thank you. Appreciate the call. Yeah, Aaron Sanchez started for the Gulf Coast League Blue Jays today down in Florida this morning and worked two innings and reported feeling fine afterwards. So that's great news. Dave in Vancouver. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mike. You know, amazingly, the sun came up from the east last night or this morning. You know, I mean, after all the rending of garments and weeping and gnashing of teeth, you know, I mean, it was one game. I thought maybe it was going to be Bill Murray and Groundhog Day, but the boys came through. Great start from Dubron, and, of course, the bullpen came through clutch. And, you know, it was the type of ball game that where the boys, especially the defense, was there. And, you know, as you say, Reyes, I mean, that was a big run. And we're going to need some runs like that in those type of games, especially on the road. And so 2-3 on the road, not too bad. Now, you know, Mike, I'm starting to wonder, as it was pointed out during the broadcast, that you've got so many teams holding their cards close to the vest. You know, maybe there's not going to be as many deals as we think are going to take place, because all these clubs think, well, we can be there. We're not going to give our veterans our guys. We're not billing out here. So, I mean, I'm not sure if Alex is going to be able to pull off a deal unless he really gives up a fair amount. So, as people point out, if we get some of these younger kids back, et cetera, in this division, I said before, we stay 500 in this month, we've got a real good shot at getting the playoffs. And, you know, Mike, really enjoying your broadcast because, you know, I listen to a lot of the shows in the States and so on and some of their shows. And, you know, the fans, they're moaning and groaning and so on. But this is one of the better programs. So it's kind of like John Gibbons. He's number one with the media. And you rank right up there when it comes with the fans, your knowledge, and just the fact that it's an entertaining show. And I really enjoy it.
Well, it's very swell of you to say, Dave. Thank you. And thank you for your regular contributions to the program out there in God's country, in British Columbia, as you so do love to call it. It was a good game tonight. It was a good game, and the Blue Jays beat the White Sox 2-1. Well pitched, both ends. Clutch hitting, clutch defense, clutch bullpen work from the Jays. Did everything right, except, you know, they didn't win 10-1, but that's okay. I think a lot of people like a game like this better, even though it wears on your fingernails. That's for sure. Let's go out to Whitby. Ziad, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how are you doing?
All right.
Just a few quick points. First one, with Hutchinson struggling a fair bit on the road this year, I obviously it's kind of late now, but did the Jays get any thought to maybe sending him down? You have someone else come up for a spot start, that'll give him some time to go down, take the break for the All-Star break, and then get a couple starts in the minors to get his confidence up and then come back up right after. That being one. And then the other one was, in terms of the video replay, although they gave you...
Well, we lost him. I cut out for a second before, and I thought we might be able to hold on, but I have no idea what he wanted to ask about video replay, so... apologize for not being able to answer that. As far as Hutchison's concerned, I really don't think he's having an issue with confidence. And if you've seen him in post-game scrums or even in pre-game interviews, confidence is not an issue for him. He's not tearing his hair out, wondering why he's not getting people out, why he's struggling on the road. Last year was the reverse, right? Last year he was much better on the road than he was at home. And that's the way it should be for a Blue Jays pitcher, because Rogers Center is a very hitter-friendly environment. You talk about sending him down. When you're going to send down one of your regular starters, even just to give him a breather, you don't do that when you've got two starting pitchers on the disabled list and you've already gone through plan A in Daniel Norris and plan B and Scott Copeland and plan C and Matt Boyd, and now you're on plan D and Felix Dubron. You don't really have the opportunity to, this may be taken the wrong way, I guess, but you really don't have the opportunity to get cute like that with your starting pitchers when you're down to plan D. So, no, I don't think that they considered that, and I don't think that they were going to do that. They talked about bringing Norris up for a spot start. Norris pitched tonight, pitched really, really well in Buffalo, was hitting 95, was striking people out, had a great outing. But the next day for him to pitch would be Sunday, day before the All-Star break. And that doesn't look like that's going to happen because Felix Dubron has earned that start. So I don't think we're going to see Norris up before the break. But hopefully he'll continue to pitch like this and work his way back up to the big leagues. Derek is in Chatham. Hey, Derek, you're on Jay's Talk.
Hey, Mike, thanks for having me back on again. I appreciate it.
All right.
Listen, I think Josh III is more than just an All-Star. I think he's easily an MVP candidate, and I would give double eight. triple A's for grabbing him. I think it was a real steal, tremendous steal.
He's one of the best players in the game. I mean, he's
absolutely
been an MVP candidate.
Dynamite. I'm just so proud to have him as a Jay. Yeah, happy we got him. It's like stealing the gentleman we had come to second base for us when we won a couple of World Series. And his name was, I can't remember.
Roberto Alomar?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was like stealing him.
Oh, they didn't steal him. They gave up quite a lot to get him. But
well, they did.
Was well worth
it. I see it in the same, sort of the same plane. Dubron tonight, I thought, was really nice to see. I think it's wonderful. I think he's got something to bring. It's too bad he had to give up two out runners, five of the seven innings. But I think that'll change when he gets a bit more work. But
the best time to put a runner on base is when there's two out and nobody else.
I know it's a different psychology with two out. The whole game is altogether different, both sides. Defense and offense, everything changes a bit there, but okay. I think he can be wonderful. He could be the addition that we're looking for in our starting rotation. He's a young man still at 27, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, as far as the calendar's concerned, too, it's true. Thank you, Derek. I want to get to a few more before we go. Felix Dubron pitched well tonight. Let's not go overboard. You're not the first to suggest that he could be a solution to the Blue Jays. He might. He is a fifth starter. That's what Felix Dubron is. He is a fourth or fifth starter. And the Blue Jays could use decent bottom of the rotation work. And he provided a lot more than that tonight. But he is going to get knocked around a time or two. Hopefully it's time when the Blue Jays are scoring 7, 8, 9 runs. Elizabeth in Toronto, welcome aboard.
Thank you so much, Mike. Long-time listener, first-time caller, and all that usual stuff that people say to you.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
Can we all just please take a minute, first of all, to appreciate the fact that the Jays won a one-run ball game, a low-scoring one, and sure, it wasn't a no-hitter, and sure, Jose Reyes didn't get that first runner out in the ninth inning, but he really couldn't have done anything else about that. I mean, the ball was just hit to the wrong place. So can we all just kind of chill for a second and appreciate the game?
Yeah, no, I don't think that's happening in this program.
No, not exactly. I wanted to address your comment that you made with another caller earlier in the show about Justin Smoke and about how when they're facing so many left-handed pitchers and everything that there's not really any room for him in the lineup.
Yep.
And when you look at people like Chris Colabello and Danny Valencia who are doing really well against lefties, but they're still doing fairly decently against right-handed pitching as well, and with an offensive lineup like we have, do we really, really need Smoke, and what about using him in a trade?
I don't think he offers much value. Justin Smoke is he's a career 230 hitter, not even, who's having the best year of his career right now. I mean, his OPS right now is over 100 points higher than it's been in any other season of his career. Part of that's a hitting environment at Rogers Center. Part of it is getting out of Seattle. Part of it's the limited work too, right? I mean, he's at 121 at-bats so far this season, which is not a lot. And so I think that a lot of general managers out there will kind of recognize that. And, how much are we going to give up for a gamble guy who you hope is going to stay this hot and going to leave after next year when he's a free agent? So, I think Justin Smoke has a chance to be a piece. I would much, much, much rather have Smoke long-term against right-handed pitchers than Colabello or Valencia or Navarro. So I think he's worth more to the Blue Jays than what he could bring back in trade.
Okay, that's fair.
All right.
One more question for you.
Yeah, you got a minute.
Okay, real quick, what if we go to the Toronto Maple Leafs and see if they've got a closet baseball slugger in there, and maybe we've got someone who's secretly a really good hockey player, and maybe Phaneuf can be the next Jays star, and maybe Cecil's the next Leafs star.
I think they had Phil Kessel lined up to take over in left field, and that trade with the Penguins kind of ruined all of that. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it a lot. Love our first-timers. And that's all the time we have for today. Another good long edition of Jays Talk. Digging the Jays Talks to midnight with the Blue Jays out there in the Central Time Zone. Tomorrow night, we will be back. 7 o'clock Eastern Time right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan with our Blue Jays pre-game show. And we're going to have either Jose Reyes or Bo Schultz on. I might open it up to Twitter and ask which one you'd like. One of them will be tomorrow. The other one will be Friday. I talked to them before the Jays went away on this road trip. Schultz about his very interesting path to the majors, and Reyes about his music. And then 7:30, pregame, 8 o'clock, 8:10 first pitch. John Danks, Drew Hutchison. We'll see you tomorrow.